Folks, back for another night. Open your Bibles to the book of Jude. And I think it's going to take a little bit of time and go over some easy things in the Christian life, or some of you may think they're not so easy, but just a couple of basic things that hopefully will be a help to you here tonight. And we're going to start in the book of Jude. And if you take a look down in verse 17, I was reading this the other day, and it says this. It says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last times, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Let's bow for a quick word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we just ask you to bless what's going to go on here this evening. I pray that you take the words of life out of this book and minister to the hearts of your people, that you'd kind of set me aside. And Father, give each and every individual here something that would, as has been mentioned a couple times before, help carry them through the week. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know how long this is going to take, so I'm going to try to get started. But I was reading through here the other day and came down, and just one simple phrase down in verse 20 caught my eye. And it just kind of stuck with me here for a while. And that is this. It says, "Building up yourselves." Verse 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves." And while there are scores of things that we could list, I've got three things here tonight that will help you build yourself. And I just wanted to go over those. And the first thing, just jump right into it, and hopefully this will lead in the direction I want it to go. But the first thing that I put on this list was just simply this, and that is follow the Father. Now, it sounds pretty simple. When you get saved, when you're young, it's easy to follow the Father. I mean, the decisions that you're asked to make are pretty basic, pretty simple. You know, something as simple as don't hit your thumb with a hammer. I mean, I'm just joking, but something, you know, don't rob a bank, right? Don't kill your next door neighbor. You know, simple things. And it's kind of easy to follow. In fact, when you're a new Christian and when you're just getting started in the Christian life, you know, the Lord, He's got a lot of grace with you, and He puts up with an awful lot. And, you know, I don't want to say that if the Lord's dealing with you something, you don't have to worry about it, but really, He doesn't expect an awful lot out of you at that beginning phase. Amen? I mean, Psalm 31 says this. It says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. And that's a great time when you first get saved and you start down that track. But then as time goes by, you know, the Lord expects a little bit more. You learn a little bit about God. You grow a little bit, and He starts dealing with you, and things become a little bit more complicated at that point. So while you first start off, Psalm 31, 24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." As you grow a little bit, you get down. There's another verse in Psalm 27, 14 says this. It says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart." You know, you get that whole patience thing going on. It's just the steps become a little bit more difficult as you go down the path. Not a lot, but in Psalm 27, you're told to wait on the Lord. So I was actually hoping that Brother Stevens had left this, or had erased this guy, because I didn't want to associate him with Dagon here. But is there an eraser, or am I? There it is. I got to give this guy a real head. That reminds me of the Marine Corps haircut. Anyway, he's got a neck, and I've got to give him at least a little bit of a body down here. I was really going to impress you with my artwork, but since this guy is already up here, I actually spent time at the desk practicing that face. I had it down pretty good. I got a copy in my notes if you'd like to see it. But, you know, when you first get saved, when you first learn some things, or when you first get saved, you learn some things, some basic, simple things about the Christian life, and they start off pretty easy. And this just kind of happened to, you know, coincide with something else. Right? All right, so this guy's got strapped back here to his back a scuba tank. How's that? That's awesome. And he's breathing air. And like in the Christian life, when you first start off in scuba diving, you learn some pretty basic, simple things that you got to follow and that you're expected to follow along the way. You learn some of the basic rules. You learn things like don't hold your breath. Okay, don't hold your breath is very important because if you hold your breath while you're rising in the water, your lungs can blow up like a balloon and pop. Not a good thing. You learn to relax, right? They tell you all the time, relax in the water. So you just learn some basic things. You learn one thing that's very, very critical. You learn this. You learn watch your pressure gauge, right? Watch your pressure gauge. So this tank also has another cable running down, and it's got a little console here, and it's got a few gauges, and one of these gauges is a pressure gauge. And when that tank starts, it's at about 3,000 pounds of pressure in that tank. And as you breathe out of that tank and you blow out bubbles, that pressure gauge starts going down. When you're underwater, it's very important that that pressure gauge not go down too far, amen? So, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. So one of the things you learn is watch your pressure gauge, and you learn that a big part of navigating this whole scuba thing is managing your air supply. And it goes without saying. You've got to manage your air supply. So there's all kinds of different ways that you manage your air supply. There's the rule of thirds is really common. You know, I dive down and I take a third of my available gas and I swim out. And I use a third coming back, and I've got a third left for reserve for emergency purposes, right? So that kind of it kind of helps out with managing some of those basic, simple scuba rules that you have to learn as a beginner. You start off with 3,000 pounds in your tank, and one of the things that you learn along the way, one of the simple things is you learn you never, ever, ever want to surface. In other words, in the dive with anything less than 500 PSI. Anything less than 500 pounds in that tank. Think about it. You start off with 3,000. You only got 500 left. If you go to, you know, if you're on the surface, and you've only got, let's say, 400 pounds left, and you've got to struggle a little bit to get on the boat, you can go through 400 PSI really quick if something goes wrong. So you learn never, ever, ever surface with less than 500 PSI. Right? So, John, how much air do I need to have when I get to the surface? Okay, good. 500 PSI. Brilliant teenagers we have, guys. Did you catch that? He's paying attention to everything. So now here comes the fun part. Let me double check and see what... All right, so you want that built-in safety margin. You want that that fudge factor when you're going through something. And it's kind of like that in the Christian life. When you start off as a new Christian, the Lord you know, the Lord saves you, and he doesn't really throw you into the fire too soon, right? He gives you a little bit of fudge factor, and... this is going to be a little difficult because I'm short, but we're going to make it work. All right. So you learn a little bit about the safety factors, and that becomes kind of a standard part of your Christian repertoire of how you live your life. And then something happens along the way. You get a little more advanced. And the Lord does something with you that you really, we'll just make this easy, that you really didn't expect. And you're wondering, what on earth is he drawing? Well, you'll figure it out here in a second. All right. I'll just put some stuff in here, because this stuff in here is really important. All right. So you have the basic scuba tank right here, where the guy breathes in some air. When he gets done with it, he blows out bubbles. Next breath he takes some more air out of the tank, into his lungs, blows out bubbles, and everything is good. He's watching his pressure gauge. He starts off with 3,000 PSI. He knows I better reach the surface with at least 500 PSI, and everything is good. And then you start getting a little more advanced in the Christian life. You know, it's not just the Lord giving you strength. Now he asks you to have some patience, and then he'll give you some strength. And in the and we're talking about here, we're talking about building yourself up. All right, out of Jude. We're talking about building yourself up. You start off easy, and then the Lord interjects and builds you up along the way. And you continue to grow, and things become more challenging than you realize sometimes. The Christian life has more to throw at you than you anticipated. And the Lord's going to ask you to do some things that maybe you didn't expect. And sometimes you're faced with challenges that seem to defy some of the rules that you thought that you had established early on. So I was taking another scuba class, a more advanced scuba class, and what I drew you here is a very crude picture of a rebreather. And a rebreather takes the place of the scuba tank. And these two tanks down here, one has got air, and one's got oxygen. And instead of having a great big 80-foot aluminum tank on my back, these two are just small little tanks. It's really cool. They're cute little miniature scuba tanks. So I'm learning how to use this rebreather. And I took a class and went out, and I'm diving. And it's the second dive. And I'm out with my instructor, and I'm nervous because this thing operates completely different than that other thing. All right? This rebreather is like a whole new world. So I'm out diving with my instructor, and we're on the second dive, and we get down, and things are going pretty good. And I get down to about, we're at 125 feet below the surface. It's not real super dark, but it's kind of dark. We get down there, we're down at 125 feet. I'm still a real rookie. And I pull up my gauge, which is very critical in a rebreather, this oxygen one right here. I pull up my gauge, and I'm at 125 feet. John, what do I want to hit the surface at? 500 PSI. The guy's sharp hands, he's got a memory. So I look at my gauge. I'm 125 feet down below the surface, and guess how much I got? Just below 500 PSI in my tank. I start to get really nervous. Because why? Because when you start scuba diving, you learn this rule, and that's a very important. It's very, you know, people die because this rule isn't followed. I look at my gauge now. I got 500 PSI, between 480 and 500 PSI in my tank. I'm going, I know I'm on a rebreather, so it's going to last a little longer, but I only got 500 PSI. I'm supposed to be at the surface. I'm 125 feet down. It's going to take me several minutes to get up to the surface. I'm going, uh-oh. But I'm not freaking out because I've got an extra pony bottle that's like spare. In case something drastic happens, I can get off the rebreather and breathe off that. And it's got air in it, so I'm thinking, okay, I'm okay. So I get up my instructor's attention, and I swim over to him, and I take my gauge, and I point it to him, and I said, look, and he looks at it, and he's very nonchalant about it. No big deal. I'm going, 500 PSI, I'm supposed to be at the surface. He takes his hose off of his rebreather, pops it off, plugs it into mine, and injects a little bit of oxygen into my loop. Now, let me explain how this works. That's the whole reason for the purpose, and I'm going to skip it. Or the whole reason for the picture, and I'm going to skip it. So a rebreather, there's actually a couple of bags out here that kind of act as, they call them counter lungs, but anyway, everything goes in one direction. So when I exhale into the mouthpiece, the exhaled air goes this way. It goes through this scrubber right here. It cleans out the carbon dioxide, which is bad for you, and comes out with no carbon dioxide in it. I can rebreathe that air again. Only the oxygen level slowly dwindles. So initially I put enough air in this loop to breathe, and then the rebreather monitors how much oxygen my body has actually used and just injects it into here to make up for what I've already used up, what my body has metabolized. So then I inhale from here, fresh air, and everything just keeps recirculating. I keep breathing the same air over and over and over and over. Sounds really cool. Only it was my oxygen gauge that was at 500 PSI. If this one was at 500 PSI, I wouldn't care. It could last all day because I don't really use it anymore. I keep breathing the same air, but this one I use up. So I'm down there underwater, and I show him my gauge, and I'm getting kind of nervous. And he gives me a little bit of oxygen. I'm thinking to myself, that's not going to do much. He can't give me that much. So I'm really nervous. I'm watching my oxygen gauge down there. I'm swimming at, we're 125 feet below the water. And he can tell I'm kind of nervous. And we start swimming back towards the rope so we can go up. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to make it. I'm going to live. We get to the rope, and he keeps going. I'm below 500 now. I'm at, you know. So we keep going. I'm thinking, what on earth is this guy doing? He knows I'm low on O2. What's up? And he keeps swimming around, doodling around, looking at the rocks down there at the bottom of the quarry and all these different things going around. And I'm going, oh, I got to trust this guy. I'm thinking, whoa. But I still got my bailout bottle. So worst case scenario, even if I run out of oxygen, I can go to my bailout bottle. I've got enough to get up to the surface. So he swims around. We get back to the line, finally. Finally get back to the line. And we start heading up the line. And my oxygen gauge is kind of dropping, right? We get up to the line, and we get to a place, and he asks me to take my stage bottle, my bailout bottle, and clip it off and get rid of it. You know how much faith that took? I'm sitting there, and I've got, you know, virtually nothing left. Or at least in my mind, I've got virtually nothing left. And I'll admit to you, I was very... My senses were very heightened at that particular moment. So he asked me to take off my pony bottle and stick it on the line. And I'm thinking, I still got a ways to get up. He knows what he's doing. I can make it. So long story short, make it through, get up to the surface. I look at my gauge. I got like about 350, 400 PSI of oxygen still left. And I'm talking with him afterwards. And I was told him, you know, how nervous I was down there on the dive. He said, yeah, I know you were. He goes, when you first start off in scuba diving, you get so accustomed to watching that gauge that 500 PSI, you know, that's a safety reserve. And you're conditioned to think that anything below that, you're not going to make it. That's too little. He says, now you're in a whole new world. He said, 500 PSI and a rebreather, you can dive for 45 minutes on 500 PSI of O2 and a rebreather. I learned a lesson. And that is, he had to take me to a whole new level of trust and understanding as to what I was doing before I could really even understand what that unit was all about. And it's that way in your Christian life. The Lord will take you through, he'll take you up through a trial. And you're very accustomed to having a safety margin in your trial. And the Lord's right there to pick you up, and he's right there to, to raise you up and take care of you if anything goes out of the ordinary. But then, as you grow as a Christian, and as you become stronger as a Christian, and as you're looking to build yourself up, the Lord is actively looking to build you up. And you're following the Father, and you're being built up in your Christian life. Eventually, the Lord's going to get you to a place where you transition from your old ways of thinking into some new things, and you realize, you know what? I'm in a place now where what I used to think was a safety margin with the Lord is not an issue. Amen? I mean, there's, you know, when you first start off, you're afraid to let go of that much control and give the Lord that much reign over your Christian life and over your life and over your money and over your marriage and your relationships and everything else. You're afraid to let it go because, you know, you want this fudge factor, the safety factor where I can take care of it. I can still take care of it. But as you grow as a Christian, the Lord's going to take you to a place and put you through trials where that safety factor that you thought you needed, you don't really need. I imagine the Christoffersons would have probably thought, oh, okay, I got a, you know, 3-year visa. Yeah, I got a 1-year visa. That'd be great. Now it's like, I got a 2-week visa? What can I do in 2 weeks? You know, that's got to be out of your safety factor. It has to be a pretty scary thing. But the Lord will do that with you. Why? Because He wants to build you up. We're talking about building up yourself. Wow, that's only point one. It's almost 8 o'clock. It becomes a matter of trust. 2 Timothy 4 says this. It says, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me. Well, you know, turn there. Turn to 2 Timothy. Because I need to read more than just that verse. Turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 4, look down about verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And then look at this in verse 16. He says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Paul runs into this in his Christian life. He's going through, the Lord's taking him through ups and downs. All of a sudden, the Lord sticks Paul in that same type of scenario. He gets over there, and Alexander the coppersmith is raising a big ruckus. Next thing you know, Paul speaks up and everyone deserts him. Now Paul's got this whole trial thing alone, right? That safety factor that he was accustomed to has just been taken away. And the Lord will do that because He wants you to grow. And as it said there in 2 Timothy 4, listen, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And then in verse 18 it says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me. Listen, Paul had been built up along the way, and in verse 16, he gets in the scenario where all of a sudden he is alone. And the Lord throws that test at him. You imagine being out there trying to stand up for what you stand up for all alone? That's pretty rough. But Jude says, building up yourselves. Building up yourselves. Listen, when you face that new trial, the Lord takes you to, you're not going to have some of the comfort and safety factors that you're accustomed to having along the way. Right? Things are going to change. And things are going to look a lot more ominous. And you're going to be sitting down at 125 feet underneath the surface of the water, knowing I need to be to the surface with 500 PSI, looking at your gauge going, I've got less than that right now, and I'm still 125 feet down. Lord, how on earth are you going to get me out of this mess? But He does it. Amen? He takes you out of it. Listen, when you face that new trial, when you get to the place where you actually have to just let go of something you've been holding on to for a long time, you've actually got to finally let it go, it's going to be a scary place. Listen, you get to the place where you actually have to admit you were wrong, it's going to be a scary place. And you get to the place where you actually have to learn to really, truly, genuinely have grace with somebody because of something, you're going to be out of your safety factor. You're going to be out of your comfort zone. You're not going to have a safety factor. And it's going to seem like the Lord's asking you to do something that's just about impossible. But He's got things under control. See, He knows that when you first get saved, there's some basic things that you learn and you kind of hold on to. But he also knows when you get a little bit more advanced, he's equipped you with some equipment that'll do some things for you and that'll protect you and save you in ways that you never really anticipated. Building up yourselves. You build up yourself by following the Father. Because whatever trials he takes you through, however bad things seem to get, he's got you covered. Amen? Second thing you need to do to build up yourself, or a second thing to do, is finding and developing a desire. Take a look at Acts 24. Acts 24. And I'll hurry up and try to get these last two points in. Acts 24:16, pretty familiar verse. It says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." Now, what are you trying to do? You're trying to build yourself up. And Paul says, "Herein do I exercise myself." There you go, Luann. Got a little exercise program going on there. Listen, in the last point, the Lord had a big part in arranging all these circumstances around your trial. It's like my instructor. He knew exactly what was going on with how much oxygen I had, and he knew how long it was going to last. He knew I had plenty of time not even to worry about it. I didn't know that, but he knew that. But somewhere along the line, you're going to get to a place, and this is point number two, where you have to find and develop a desire to do the things and to build up yourself on your own. I mean, the Lord will give you plenty of things to build you up. He's interested in you being built up. But there comes a spot where you, as an individual, have to look at yourself and say, I need to be built up. And actively take steps to build yourself up. This one is pretty much all up to you. Don't get me wrong. The Lord will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. I mean, if you ask him for strength, he'll give you strength. Right? You ask him for faith, he'll give you faith. You need comfort, he'll comfort you. You need wisdom, he'll give you wisdom if you seek and ask for it. But you'll have to search for yourself and you'll have to develop a desire for spiritual growth from within you. You'll have to be the one that makes that decision. Yes, I want to grow. Yes, I want to do this. But listen, our biggest problem is that, just the flesh gets to us and quite frankly, we tend to get lazy. Amen? We tend to get lazy. And we read things sometimes like Psalm 31 or 131:1. It says, a song of David, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me." We use that as an excuse to kind of take it easy. I'm not going to exercise myself too much, Luann. I'm only going to lose one dress size, by the way. We make excuses for ourselves. We love making excuses for ourselves. Like Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more," right? Standard thing is, so if I stole $10,000 last year, I can't exceed that amount this year. Right? So it works that way. We get kind of complacent. And, but we need to build in ourselves this desire for spiritual things. We have to develop a desire to build ourselves up spiritually from within ourselves. And the Lord's going to be working on us, yes. And the Lord's not going to give up on us or quit on us, but some of it has to come from just within inside of us. And, it's kind of like physical exercise. You know, the thing is if you take a couple of weeks off of the gym and physical exercise, it's easy to let that turn into 3 weeks or a month. You know, it's easy to let a couple of days turn into a couple of weeks. And it becomes much harder to reestablish your conditioning or your physical strength. You say, how fast do you get out of shape? Well, there have been a few studies and they've investigated how quickly you lose your lung capacity or your aerobic fitness. And one study observed that conditioned athletes who had been training regularly for at least a year and then suddenly stopped lost half of their aerobic conditioning in a mere 3 months. Study they're talking about elderly patients and being more like bedridden, and they start to lose as much as 10% of their muscle function per day lying in bed and being immobile. your muscles, you stop working out, you stop doing things, your muscles actually start to atrophy. Right? You lose strength, you lose conditioning, you lose, you know, so the more you put that off, the worse it gets. The older you are, the worse it gets. We all know that. Well, not you guys. All you guys over here know that. All you guys over here, you just have to take our word for it for now. But spiritually, you know, things happen the same way. You know, what Jude says, what? Build up yourselves, right? Build up yourselves. And listen, if we take time off, we let things slide for a couple days, a couple weeks turn into a couple months, right? If you're immobile, you lose, you know, as much as 10% a day. Wow, that's pretty incredible. Within a couple months, you've lost half your spiritual conditioning. The time, you know, that was for a conditioned athlete. For an occasional athlete, it goes quicker. They lose that ability even quicker. Same thing in our spiritual life. I mean, you're in your Bible, you're strong, you're praying, you're, you know, learning, you're, you know, soaking all this stuff up, and, you know, something happens, you miss a day or two, not a big deal. If you're not in your Bible that much, and you miss a day or two, it's no big deal. Next thing you know, it's a week or two, and you lose that conditioning pretty quick. Jude just says, building up yourselves. And the Lord will do it for you. You follow Him, and He'll take you through trials and teach you some things along the way that'll build you up and make you stronger, even though they can be kind of terrifying as you go through them. But there's somewhere in there where you've got to take and you've got to create a desire within yourself. Right? You've got to look at your watch and say, oh man, time's going real quick, but I've got time to get that hour workout in. I'm going to make time to get that Bible reading in. I want to make time to get some prayer in. You've got to have a desire to do that stuff yourself, because nothing can replace that. Nothing can replace that drive, that desire that you got to build and develop and fuel and you know, rekindle on a daily basis almost, because God wants you to be built up. He doesn't want you to atrophy. I mean, He doesn't want your spiritual muscles to turn to mush. Amen? So you got to build yourself up. You got to get away from that desire to retire. I don't know why I put that in there. It just sounded like kind of... I better hurry. So first thing, you got to follow the Lord and go through those trials. Second thing, you got to develop that burning desire within yourself to do what's right and to keep your spiritual head above water. And the Lord will help you in point number one, but you got to do point number two yourself. Somewhere along the line, it's got to be you. And then finally, the third thing that I put down here is, listen, you must learn to focus on building a brother. Turn to Job real quick. Turn back to Job. And I know I'm kind of rushing this, but Job chapter 16. In fact, we're going to start off with chapter 15, Eliphaz, the Temanite. And just kind of scan through with me down verse 2. Should a wise man utter vain knowledge and fill his belly with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or with speeches wherewith he can do no good? Verse 5. For thy mouth uttereth thine iniquity, and thou choosest the tongue of the crafty. Look at verse 6. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. Look at verse 7. Art thou the first man that was born? Or wast thou made before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret of God? And dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? Look down at verse 13. That thou turnest thy spirit against God, and lettest such words go out of thy mouth. Verse 20. The wicked man travaileth with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. Verse 25. For he stretcheth out his hands against God, and strengtheneth himself against the Almighty. That's his friends. That's Eliphaz. That's one of Job's friends. You know, listen, the third thing is, first off, following God. Let Him take you through those trials and learning new rules along the way and new things that you can do. The second thing is developing that burning desire within yourself. You just got to kick yourself in the seat of the pants and get up and do things. But the third thing that I put down here is, listen, you got to focus on building a brother. Now, Job's friends didn't do a very good job of helping build him up when he was down in the dumps. You know, they kind of played dog pile on him, right? The guy that's down, and then everyone jumps on top of him. Hey, listen, take a look at chapter 16. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Won't you guys ever shut up? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I could also speak as ye do, if your soul were in my soul's stead. I could heap up words against you and shake my head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips should assuage your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not assuaged, and though I forbear, what am I eased? You see, Job took the exact opposite approach there. He said, listen, if you guys were where I am, I would build you up. He said, the words that would come out of my mouth would encourage you and comfort you and build you up. They building up yourselves in Jude, right? Seems counterintuitive that you should take time to build somebody else up. But I tell you what, if you want to build yourself up, invest the time in building up a brother. Invest the time in building somebody else up. Invest the time in raising somebody else. I see it all the time, be it karate, be it scuba, be it, you know, everywhere. You know, you see it a lot in karate. Hey, listen, all right, you're going to help somebody along the way. You know, I got students that are better than me. I'm thinking, that's awesome. Take the time to build somebody else up. You want to build yourself up. See, we get in this mindset that everything is about us, and you know, we go over that all the time, that selfish aspect of our personality, because everyone's got it, and it's so prevalent, and we all got to fight it. But when you get rid of that, and you take the time to build somebody else up, listen, that strengthens you. And you don't even realize it. Focus on building a brother. Luke 22:32 says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You remember that, the Lord talking to Simon Peter. Listen, when they were getting ready to cross over into the promised land back in Deuteronomy, Moses said, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up unto the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou see. Listen. You know what you got to do to build yourself up? You got to kind of set yourself aside and worry about building somebody else up. Build up your brother. Listen, hopefully you'll be able to build, you know, some spiritual people that surpass you in spirituality. What a blessing that would be. What a goal that is. Right? What a goal. Listen, I don't know if you and I have affected anyone that way, but you know, you look at the teens, you look at some of the young adults and stuff that are coming up in this church, and I tell you what, we've got a good shot at accomplishing that mission. Amen. We got a good shot here at producing a lot of younger Christians that come up and can be better than we were. What a blessing that is. If you guys fail, I'm gonna kill you. What a blessing that is. You know? And what does that do to you? Build you up. It builds you up. I mean, to set back, not in a proud, arrogant sort of way, but to set back and look and watch and see that you've had a hand in helping somebody overcome some spiritual obstacles, helping them get from trial number one to trial number two to advanced trial number 47 along the way, and you look at them and you see them grow, what a blessing, man. You know what you guys should be doing? You should be doing that with folks that are younger than you and your peers. Build somebody else up. Build somebody else up. Jude, wrap things up and we'll get out of here. Jude says this. It says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Hey, listen, how do you do that? You follow the Father. You let Him take you through some trials and some struggles. And some of them are going to be, take you to places that you were never expected to go. And you're going to face things that you were convinced from back here aren't going to work. But the Lord shows you with His grace He can take you through it, and they will work. Right? Follow the Father. Find and develop that desire inside of you to build yourself up. It's great if mom and dad thinks I should be spiritual. Right? It's great if my friends think I should be spiritual. It's great if my husband or wife thinks I should be spiritual. Somehow or another, I've got to reach down in there and I've got to think I should be spiritual. I've got to have that desire to grow and to build and to strengthen. And then finally, focus on building a brother. Man, forget about yourself. Take the time to minister to those around you and build them up. And if you do that, you'll strengthen yourself more than you could ever imagine. Just three simple ways. Jude just says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for a chance to be here again tonight. Seems like it goes by quick, and I had to kind of rush through things, but I pray that maybe the general point in everything would be made. Lord, You've got a lot for us to do, and the truth of the matter is You want to take each and every one of us and strengthen us and make us bolder, make us stronger, make us wiser, make us better Christians than what we are now. Father, better witness and a better testimony, all those things. And Lord, we need to realize that, and we just need to follow You where You take us. We need to keep a fire burning within our own bosom to drive us that direction. And Father, we need to help those around us so that they can walk the same path that we're trying to walk. And I pray that You'd give us the strength and the courage to do that. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, it's kind of late here this evening, so we'll just close things down. Any last-minute announcements, requests, anything before we go? All right, it's good here tonight. We'll see you on Sunday. I think Brother Dave, you and John, Todd and Daniel, you're up Sunday evening, right? Okay. So pray for those guys. They'll be taking services this weekend. All right, you're dismissed.